Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Harold Brown. Thanks for being with us, Harold.
Well, thank you for having me.
Harold, could we start out by having you tell our listeners how you got involved in animal issues and veganism?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but really what pushed me initially, I guess, would be I had some health issues. Back when I was 18 years old, I had a heart attack. But being 18 years old, I didn't know what the symptoms were, and I didn't know what had happened to me. But there had evidently been no lasting damage. And it wasn't until my dad started suffering from heart attacks that I then knew what the symptoms of a heart attack were and set me on a path of trying to understand it. It wasn't until quite a few years later that I started to find some reliable information on what causes heart disease. And it actually, the first bit of that information came while I was working at a dairy plant in Michigan. And the doctor I went to happened to be an osteopath who actually had some nutritional training. And he gave me a couple of tips on how to control the things I needed to control, and that set me on a path. And a year later, I ended up leaving the farm because of the things I needed to exclude from my diet to help with my situation really upset my family. So instead of taking over the farm with my brother, I ended up moving away, and I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, which put me in touch with a veg group there. And their biggest event each year was hosting Dr. Caldwell Esselstein from the Cleveland Clinic. And that was an eye-opener for me. So I started on his program to reverse my heart disease, which I successfully did. And it wasn't, I'll say that I make a very clear distinction that at that point in my life, I was on a plant-based diet. And while the people in this vegetarian group were all vegans, the idea of the animal issues was something I kind of skirted, and I didn't actually, nobody in that group knew that I came from a farm because I was afraid. Uh-huh. I thought they would make judgments about me and so on, and would not be my friends anymore. And I couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah.
When I thought that information finally did come out, when I had a bit of a meltdown at a little symposium they were having, they were just so loving and caring and supportive of me that I was able to kind of start unpacking my baggage, I guess I would say. And that one thing led to another, and I started reading about animal rights and animal theory and by a lot of different people, and this would have been in the mid-90s. And it still really was kind of an intellectual pursuit. It was something in my head. I could understand it, but it really had no gravity for me. And it wasn't until later on when I had adopted a steer at a sanctuary and had an interaction with him that it finally, where my head and heart finally came together.
Was that Snickers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that story's in the documentary Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home by Charlie Hart. And it was from that day forward that I finally understood the real meaning of the individuality of these beings. And, they weren't this abstract thing to me anymore. And I've been on that journey ever since. So from that day forward, I consider myself a vegan.
Uh-huh.
So I'd say the first 5 years of my journey, I was on a plant-based diet, had a lot of information as far as the animal issues were concerned, but I also didn't embrace them because I had been watching the animal movement from the other side of the fence for 25 years or so, and I just saw that what they were saying in the tactics and strategies they were using, I didn't see that they would ever find traction with society at large. And so that was another reason I just wasn't forthcoming with stuff. I didn't engage people in discussions about it and so on. And then when I fell backwards into this documentary and got to know James Levesque and Jenny Stein, that's when I understood that, hey, there's these people out there to talk about transformation in another way, and advocated for animals and all beings. So I just approach activism in a different way, and that in a nutshell, in a very, very condensed way, is how I got from there to here.
Well, Harold, I wanted to follow up on one thing that you mentioned. You said that you really hadn't connected with animals as beings, and it seems odd because you said you grew up on a farm environment where you were interacting with animals on a fairly regular basis, I would think. So what was it, do you think, about your previous interactions that led you not to make the connection that you later made when you went to the sanctuary?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is something that is universal to people who live on farms and see animals as resources. We're indoctrinated into this way of living, and it starts, for me, it started with my family, my indoctrination. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying indoctrination is necessarily wrong. It's how we are given our values and our sense of right and wrong from our parents and our community. But it goes beyond that, because that sense of right and wrong gets a little messed up along the way, and seeing animals and free living animals as psychologically and I think even spiritually from that animal, and whether it was shooting them or whether it was selling them or killing them to eat, that was what I needed to do, and it really isn't something we need to do. That's the point.
Yeah. It's interesting how you get socialized into that framework, because I remember I was always socialized. Well, these animals are, because I was always kind of on the sensitive side. So my parents were always like, well, these are animals that are, they're bred and raised to eat. That's why they're here, and that's why we're doing this. That's their purpose, I guess, is what, if you'd want to put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm kind of living proof of that. I reversed my heart disease. Howard Lyman is a good friend of mine, and it's like Howard says, we kill them, they kill us.
Yeah.
That's one of his lines, and he's absolutely right. And it might take 20, 30, 40 years for it to happen, but it will happen. And we have a whole medical profession that relies on it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know what? When you were speaking, it reminded me of just recently I saw in the local newspaper here, the El Paso Times, there was a feature on the livestock show that was going on at the Coliseum. And, there were some pictures of kids that just looked really happy with, well cared for animals. And it made me think of some documentaries, too, where they've followed kids who've gotten to that moment and bringing this animal basically to an auction. And some are able to make that leap. Some are crying afterwards. Some can't part with the animal. And it seems like that's the first step. Like, there's no wall at that point. But once they get past saying, feeling like it's okay to let that animal go to auction, then that's one wall. And then, as you say, it's, TV commercials about how we're supposed to eat. And that's more walls and, society telling you to love dogs, but eat pigs. And, so you can see how it's really easy for people over time to become accustomed to that thought. And so I think that's a good reminder about going back to your point earlier about really we all need to have come at this from a level of compassion, you know, not judging people based on their past or what they've done before and their path. It's more about realizing that everyone has that potential to change, you know, at some point in their life, even if it's not now.
Right. And unfortunately, most humans are kind of like the management schools in our colleges, and they were crisis management oriented. So it takes, like for me, it took a crisis, you know, a health crisis to start me on that journey. But it isn't that way for everybody. You know, some people, they see a documentary or they have an experience with a companion animal or something. But you, Tom, you made a point that made me think of when you see these kids at auction, it looks like at the end of a county fair or something. You know, having been in 4-H for as long as I could be in 4-H.
You know, I mean, coming from a health perspective, you would think generally people tend to have more sympathy if you say, oh, I don't eat that because of health issues. But did they respond well?
Well, in the beginning, it was, I mean, just a series of events, it didn't go well. You know, as you guys know, family is your hardest audience. And it was tough because my mom was really bent out of shape that I wouldn't eat red meat anymore. And all I was giving up was ice cream and red meat in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And that was too much and caused a lot of strife. So I was getting bombarded with, you know, family tradition. I was like this generation on the farm. And it also, you know, they were making all kinds of religious ecumenical arguments about it. And I just, you know, it was tough. And it took a lot before, well, real quickly, I'll show you the transformation of my family. My dad had a series of heart attacks and bypasses, an aneurysm. He had a stroke that took his speech. And over time, I remember going up there for Thanksgiving. And in Michigan, Thanksgiving weekend is also the first weekend of deer hunting. So my dad, I was having coffee with my dad in the morning. And I asked him, I said, aren't you going to go hunting? And he said, no. Or he just shook his head. He couldn't talk. He could swear, but he couldn't talk. And I told him. I asked him. And I said, well, okay. You know, and I didn't pursue it. And my brother came in a little while later, and he was all dressed, ready to go. And he asked my dad, he says, you're not ready to go. He said, aren't you going hunting? And he shook his head and said, you know, and my brother glared at me like, you know, what did I do to him? And I just shrugged my shoulders. And because I didn't say anything to him. And my brother says, well, if you're worried about, you know, getting out there, we can take, you know, ATV out there. And he says, if you get a deer, we can use a tractor and bring in, the deer in. And he just shook his head. And my brother just goes, he says, I don't get it. This will be the first year you haven't gone hunting. And my dad said the only sentence we ever heard him say from the time he had his stroke to the day he died. And he said, they have every right to be as happy as me. And that was really moving to me. And my brother just looked and shook his head and went out hunting. You know, and then my mom, you know, she lost my dad in 96 to heart disease. And she had a heart problem. And when she, a few years later, she got a boyfriend who had been on medical leave for almost 20 years because of heart disease. And a medical retirement, I should say. And he was a really cool guy and stuff, and they were really happy together. But she was really concerned, you know, and she lost her first husband from heart disease. And she said, boy, I don't want to lose him. And so I go up there for Thanksgiving, and she said, just come on up. She says, we're going to have a vegan Thanksgiving. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, yeah. And she goes, no. She says, I said, well, what about my brother? He said, well, he's just going to shut up and like it. And
that's great.
And I go, okay. So I go up there, and there's this, like, it must have been the very first pamphlet book. It was this little pulp book from Dr. Bernard, you know, was the head of PCRM, and it had recipes in it. It talked about heart disease, and it had a few recipes in it. So my mom made a couple of dishes. She went to a one itty-bitty health food store in town, and everything she got was the Worthington stuff because the history of the Seventh-day Adventists and Dr. Kellogg, I mean, Battle Creek, Michigan. So, you know, it's still a thing up there, the Seventh-day Adventists. I grew up around a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. And we had a vegan Thanksgiving. It was the greatest gift she could have given me. And we, afterwards, I got talking to her about it, and she said, well, we need to make some changes. And unfortunately, just a couple of years later, she passed away from her disease. And but hers is as linked as much to her incessant smoking as it was to her diet. Mm-hmm. And then my brother, who is a minister, the challenges were multifaceted with him. And, you know, he still has a farm. But he had given up several years ago. He got rid of all the cattle, mainly because my two nieces had no interest in farming. And so since then he's been leasing the land out, growing crops for other animals, and soybeans and corn. Over time, we kind of avoided these topics, but sometimes he would say something just to, you know, push my buttons, and I'd have to say something, and we'd get into these arguments and stuff, but it wasn't mean-spirited in any way. And then one day I never showed him the documentary, and I thought, you know, if he wants to see that, he'll come to it on his own. And because I never wanted to proselytize to him like he did to me. And but he went on YouTube and looked up some of my talks that I'd given, and he said, you know, I've come to realize that the basic tenets that we talk about are the same. And I said, well, what's that? He says, we talk about justice, love, compassion, empathy for others. He says, just your other is much bigger than my other. And I'm going, yeah, I said, exactly. And he says, so we have a lot more in common than we have, you know, differences. And I said, yeah, we do. And from that day on, we have gotten along so much better. He hasn't become vegan, but he's come to understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, that's
and he
good
accepts
news.
It.
Yeah.
You know.
We've been talking with Harold Brown, a former beef and dairy farmer who's now a vegan advocate. And he's also going to be the guest speaker at the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's Thanksgiving dinner on November the 10th. We very much look forward to your visit with us. And thanks for being on the show today, Harold.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, it was great, Harold.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Harold. Very moving story.